In verse 10, these are the generations of Shem. As we've talked about, that goes from chapter, that goes for the next 17 verses. The speculation by scholars is that Shem wrote this. Now, this is like a deal, a family history. It was probably not written as we know writing, but it was something that was carved, like what they did in ancient times. They carved the information on a staff, or there was some other memory system so that they remembered it, and they told and sang songs about it. But his lifespan covered this entire thing that we're about to read. Now, that may not be important to you, but it's important. There's probably no single character in history other than Jesus Christ himself who affected the history of the human race more than Abraham did. Even today, there are only three monotheistic religions, and all of those three religions claim Abraham as their father. My bent was, when I was originally studying this stuff, because when you just look at it, just, you know, it's on it. Somebody did something to this, and he begat somebody. It doesn't, I mean, you just read it, and it doesn't make any sense. And I spent literally years, I'd spend months studying one verse. And something began to dawn on me that if you put down these ages of these guys, you find out that Shem was alive for the first 75 years of Abraham's life. And Shem was the favorite of Noah. He was the heir apparent, if you will, of everything. And he, in extra biblical literature, Shem is considered to be the wisdom of the ages that he contained. There's a great body of information. We in the West, we've been so prejudiced by a Greco-Roman view of history that we think that the Greeks did this wonderful stuff and the Romans did this wonderful stuff. As a practical matter, if we lived in Syria, for instance, we would have a totally different view of history, and that view of history would cause that the beginning of mathematics was taught. It was Abraham who brought that knowledge into Egypt and into Greece. The beginning of all of the Pythagorean theorems and the mysticism of Pythagoras, that was taught by Abraham to those descendants. That there were two exoduses from Egypt. The first one happened several hundred years before the exodus that we study in here. And that's when the ruling class, the descendants of Joseph, who was the heir apparent of the Egyptians, left. And they were the richest, most knowledgeable men in the world. They formed all these, they became Greece, they became Troy, they became all of the, what we look in the Greco-Roman view of history is the people that really affected us. Well, I believe, and I think I can prove to you, if we spent that enough time, that all of those people that brought us civilization were taught by Abraham. And what we view as knowledge, these men, I mean, we are minuscule. We are great in technology, but we have no wisdom. We are so far behind what they knew, as I told you. And this wasn't just true in Israel. The Sanhedrin, to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you'd be able to translate in 70 languages. 70.
Now we have to believe two things. We have to believe that new things can happen. And we have to believe that we're evolving rather than devolving. We think a new thing happened here.
Yeah. Therefore, all the other old people are stupid.
So what this means to us is that there's worlds of mystery that were passed down orally in something as simple as it says, you know, these are the generations of Shem. Well, when it says that these are the generations, it was all kinds of incredible information that these men had gained. Shem was how old when he died? 600 years old. If we believe what we think we believe, Enoch built the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Giza, the Sphinx and the pyramid. Those two, the pyramid couldn't be built today with today's technology. It's as we've talked about, its covering was limestone that was polished to such an extent that it was optical quality. You couldn't see the seams. It was designed so that it reflected at the spring and the fall equinoxes, it reflected light at a particular place. One, Jerusalem, the other, Stonehenge. At the spring equinox, it reflected to Jerusalem. At the fall equinox, it reflected at Stonehenge. You could see it. We are brute beasts compared to what the human race was at these days. All we have done is we have learned some manipulation, some technology to manipulate stuff within a teeny environment. They were concerned with what I think are the most important things of life. Why we're here. What we're doing here. What is this thing called life? What is our purpose here? I didn't give a shit about Ninja Turtles or this other idiocy that goes on in the... I mean, my God in heaven, I look at what is being proclaimed as important to our kids and I throw up. What do you place importance on? That's what you worship. That's all the definition of worship. It's just to give breath to, make important to you. Here was a society in which age and wisdom were respected. They were valued. They were rewarded with honor. Here, age is rejected. Age is a burden. Age is what we have over here at this Juliet Fowler home where people put people in camps. As far as I'm concerned, that place is Dachau. There are maybe a thousand people over here at this home that are in a camp waiting to die. They have no other purpose of life except to wait to die. I want you to understand that where I'm coming from in teaching and what I believe is that there is nothing of value in the American society. It's a stupid form of government that rewards greed and selfishness. It's a stupid system that demands instant gratification. It's a stupid system that rewards idiots like Michael Jackson and these ridiculous sports stars with millions and millions of dollars while Talmudic scholars are... I'm not a Talmudic scholar, but I get $80 a week. It rewards instant gratification as the only thing, and yet you are a part of it. You've got to reject it. There is nothing of value in this system. There isn't anything of value in any other system either, but we must be about creating a new culture, a new way of living. That's really the ancient one. This thing that we are living in is abject stupidity. That's a city. This is a city that's based on something illegal. This is a city based on usury. Dallas would not exist if they followed the law. It's a city based on images. without substance. But so is every other city. Can it begin to hit you that we are not of this world? We are aliens in this bizarre land that is no value? We are here to use it, but not abuse it, not to give it importance. We are here to use it as a hammer. If God has blessed you for a moment with some resources, then use the resources for the betterment of the community. And your reward shall be in heaven. I can see Abraham sitting at the feet of Shem for 75 years before he spoke. That Shem, one of the sons of Noah, that was taught by Methuselah and Enoch.
Cool.
Taught, probably also by Seth, for at least 20 years. Talk about wisdom that they had gathered compared to this garbage that we have. Compared to these guys, compared to the rabbis at the time of Christ, I'm in pre-kindergarten. Compared to these guys, I haven't even started the course yet. And yet, me now, compared to what goes for scholarship in the world, I've done the equivalent of 5 PhDs in the last 18 years, and I have not even touched.
Sounds like the Sarah.
Yeah. Do you understand?
Sarah was a beast compared to Eve.
Now, what are you, what do you place value on now in your day-to-day living? What causes you to go on a trip? You're... A belief system is tested by what provides agony and what provides joy. And that's why God in Christ said, "You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts, for those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God." If there's something that gives you joy, that's common to mankind, you can bet you're being deceived. If there's something you're striving after, that the Gentiles strive after, you can bet it's wrong, and that you will sow corruption from it. I believe that these men, Shem, Enoch, Methuselah, Abel, they are the first members of the bride. They are there in that cloud of witnesses that's waiting for us to come to faith. Think about Abraham. We're about to get into Abraham. Here's the reason I'm going to paying attention to Shem. Think about being sitting at the feet of Shem for 75 years. The man who was taught by the people that built the pyramid. They still can't do that today. The man who was taught by him who understood all the mysteries of those stars that we look at. the man who understood, as it says in one of the books of the Zohar, he understood with perfect understanding the wisdom of the wine.
The what?
He understood with, Shem, understood with perfect understanding the wisdom of the wine. And what that means? It means he saw us. Let me just, for running these things down. Adam, when Seth was born, was 130 years old. And Adam, he was lived in for 930 years. Seth was 105 when Enosh was born. Not Enoch, but Enosh. And he lived to 912. Enosh was 90 when Kenan was born. Not Kenan Wynn. And he lived until he was 905 years old. Kenan was 70 when Mahalalel was born. And he lived 910 years. Mahalalel was 65 when Jared was born. And he lived 895 years. Jared was 162 when Enoch was born. And he lived 962 years. Enoch was 65 when Methuselah was born. And he lived 365 and one quarter years.
Plus.
Enoch?
Plus.
So he lived a relatively short amount of time. Well,
actually.
No, Enoch did. Enoch.
He's still alive.
Yeah, he didn't. He was transfigured at 365 and one quarter.
What if he's outside of time? He probably still is 365 years.
He's 365. Methuselah was 187 when his son was born, and he lived 969 years. Lamech was 182 when Noah was born, and he lived 777 years. Noah was 600 years at the flood, and he lived 950 years. Shem was 100 years old when his son was born, and he lived 600 years. His son was Arphaxad. I can't even pronounce it. Anyway, on down, 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 down. Shem lived 98 years, from 98 years before the flood until 502 years after the flood. Shem lived 75 years after Abraham, excuse me, I said it wrong. Shem lived 75 years after Abraham entered Canaan.
Wow.
Methuselah was contemporary with Adam for 243 years. Shem was contemporary with Methuselah for 97 years. And Abraham was contemporary with Shem.
So he was only three Zerach copies removed from Adam.
Third generation.
Realized
Lot was Abraham's cousin. Do you have a little bit of understanding of what, I mean, that we're not just reading some boring things here, that something took place here, and all we're seeing in these first few chapters is the family book. That all of this stuff that's about this family book was passed down by oral tradition. And that's what the Talmud is.
So I'm like, I mean, you have a very strong feeling of it. When somebody dies, that everything they know and everything that is about them dies with them. And this isn't the case with this.
They respected scholarship above all else. They rewarded scholarship above all else.
Like, today when someone dies, they talk about what they did. I mean, these guys really didn't do much, but they sat around and they knew stuff.
Right. Well, even today, the universities, hardly any scholarship compared to that.
Really?
They're paid nothing. Even the full professors make
$40,000, $50,000, full professors.
After, 30 years, make $40,000 or $50,000. Yeah, it's just crazy. And athletes and all that stuff.
Well, what? Michael Jackson made $95 million last year. Okay, Genesis 11:10.
We're still there.
These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Salah. Arphaxad lived after he begat Salah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. You know, you think here that these are long ages, lifetimes. When you read the Babylonian description of this period, their heroes, which a lot of these are the same names, by the way, but they assign lifetimes of 30 and 40,000 years to them.
Well,
yeah, mythology is wonderful. Well, how long did Adam live?
Adam? 930 years.
So he wasn't the
Methuselah.
969 years. Okay.
So these guys are only living half the span. I mean, if you take it literally, it's
they were youngsters.
That's their forefather hubs.
No, not yet. They're not half yet. But it's declining because, and again, I think it's because of. Huh?
400.
Because of what?
No, no. He's lived 400 after he begat.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because of what?
Because of the ultraviolet rays of the sun.
Had stress. Right, they had stress.
They had no, before this time, I mean before the flood, there was no sky. I mean it was only clouds. The earth wasn't covered, enclosed. And the ultraviolet rays couldn't, and that's the, again, if you ask a doctor, the only two reasons that we age are ultraviolet and stress. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. Now, why is this in the Bible?
Because it sets up the thing.
It's even one. I mean, how long has it been set? Is that what you're asking?
Well, you kind of told us that in the beginning.
It's the royal line.
It's a family, it's like an ancestral thing.
Now stop, I want you to stop a minute. We have to make this real to you, otherwise you'll just think this is ridiculous stuff. Let's assume you were born in Europe. Even today, in many of the countries, but a few years ago. And you're born in Europe, and all of a sudden you come into the world, and you're born, and you live in a country that doesn't allow private property, and some guy is the king of you. Or queen is the, or girl, woman is the queen of you. She owns all the property. And you can't own anything. The idea of private ownership is impossible. It's a ludicrous concept, if you think about it, from a spiritual standpoint. How in the hell did they get the right to be a king or a queen?
Yeah, it answers the age-old question, who the hell made you king?
Well, this is the answer of it. That's why the begots and begats are so incredibly important in the law. The law doesn't make any difference. It doesn't care what you think about anything. I mean, you got to get that truth through your skull. We live in a society in which, well, you can have your truth and I'll have my truth. Well, that's ridiculous. We don't see it here because we live in this asinine system that says, you know, it's the aristocracy of talent. Yeah, right. It's the aristocracy of greed in this system. But these lines are what defined the kings of today. They defined who was the czar in Russia, who was the Caesar in Rome, in the Roman Empire. It defined who were the kings and queens of the Habsburgs that ruled Europe for 613 years? We are bastards in America. You've been taught that you have some value, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And God is blessing America. It's the most asinine system of government the world has ever known. It's the most anti-spiritual concept that is possible. It's a language that makes spiritual understanding almost impossible. It's a system of government that is the antithesis of spirit. And yet, most of you have not traveled. And even those that traveled, traveled at hotels. So you took your environment with you and said you traveled. When you travel, and i.e. when you have to live with the people, you see how we are a cosmic joke in America. We are living a total illusion based on the illusion makers. And you're talking to one who, you know, I was a conservative Republican that defended the system. I don't know why I usually don't get on the government or the system as bad as I feel about it tonight. I don't know why I'm on it. Huh?
It just seems like there's nothing but exalt the individual. You know?
Yeah, the salvation of the isolated self.
The individual is everything in our society.
I think part of the reason you're off on this is because there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and what we're doing basically is we are making our own town.
Well, the reason is that I remember when I first read the Bible, how stupid I thought that all these begats and who lived and who did what to whom, until I saw that it was the basis for the establishment of most of the governments of the world, except the bastard system that we have. Think about the idea, the ridiculousness of owning a piece of property.
I used to always say that when I was a kid. I don't know where I got on that idea. But the other kids would make fun of me. I remember having big arguments about it. I thought it was kind of weird that you could put a piece of fence around it and say, "This is mine."
Yeah, well, that's so stupid.
It's mine.
The idea that piece of property over there in the corner is Ed's.
This piece.
Damn it, it's mine.
And then this one up here is Ed and... And this one is the Buckners, and that one is the Rutledges. Right? It's really silly.
Or the thing that we fought for it.
Yeah, we fought. We shed our blood for this land. Yeah, right.
We
shed our blood for greed.
Well, we stole it from these guys.
I spent 11 years in the intelligence service. And there's a cliche that why countries have intelligence services. And it's never more true than it is in America. Governments have intelligence services so that their citizens can keep their idols. And keep thinking their idols are important. The idea of the concept of the ownership of property is an instrument of oppression. That somebody else is doing to the property owner. You see? It's not the property owners that are oppressing. It's the fact that someone is oppressing the property owner. Because you can't own the property. The property owns you. I mean, it's a perfect example. Ed had put some money up today and it owned him. I mean, I'm not blaming Ed. But the idea that Ed would have resources that were outside the community is asinine.
I heard a comedian years ago define a mortgage. A mortgage is a form of indentured servitude that for 30 years makes a man a willing servant of the system.
This is not an instrument of barter. This is an instrument of sorcery. Yeah. And it's to remind you what you owe the system. Yeah. In the ancient times, money, that we don't have money as a, as an advancement of barter. We have money as an advancement of witchcraft. In the ancient times, if you owed me money, you would take my image and put it on your mantle. And it would remind you of that debt. This isn't worth anything. It's not worth anything. It's a Federal Reserve note.
Which means it's worth even less than nothing.
No. If any of you have seen them, or if you're in your memory, there's these. If you look on it, it's called a silver certificate. That means that by law, that's redeemable for an equivalent amount of silver. So this has worth. But they stopped printing these in when? When did they stop printing them? Silver certificates. 50s, I think. This one's the 1935 issue. I mean, I got off on this because of the who's doing what to whom here. But 19, and Peleg lived after he begat Rehu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Rehu lived 230 years and begat Serug. And Rehu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. Now we're coming. Now we're at the point. Nahor is who? Yeah, Nahor is Abraham's grandfather. But Nahor is also Abraham's brother. The first Nahor was his grandfather, and his brother was named after him. Now, what does Nahor mean? It's the Hebrew word for snore.
That's really weird. Matt made a snoring noise when he asked that, but he didn't say anything.
He probably knew it.
I'll
never
tell.
And Nahor lived 9 and 20 years, and he begat Terah. Now, one of the things that you can imagine is that anybody that's named in this begat business is part of the royal line. It's not, they are not
The Smiths.
These are not small-time guys. These are the historical records of a royal bloodline. That's why they're named.
So you can assume when you read this, these guys were like the rulers, and they had all the stuff.
Well, they may have at any given moment they may not have been the ruler, but they had the right to rule.
Yeah.
It's sort of like when you read the racing form.
Yeah, bloodlines. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, for the first time, God is going to test his plan by a particular family. We're going to talk about that at great length, because the promises of God are not made to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed. Every promise of God, every promise of governments are based on this next few verses, this who the promises of God go to. It's the most, even communism. Communism was based on the Book of Acts. Karl Marx, a rejected Jew, he rejected the Jewish faith, tried Christianity, and adopted communism based on the book of Acts. It's unique in history that we live in a time in which religion doesn't mean anything to the world. You understand that? It's only in the last 25 or 30 years that we've lived in that society. Now we're seeing where all of it came from. I mean, there are all of the major wars of history were fought over the next few verses. Still are. There's thousands of people being killed daily over the next few verses. It may not seem, this is boring kind of shit to you, but think of it in terms of its historical importance. Okay? Let's quit there.